As time passes, the meanings of words change. We may understand that the word thoughtful means to be full of thought, and that the word fruitful means to be full of fruit. But when we come to the word awful, when it's used in older literature, we sometimes pause. When we think of the word awful, we think of something that's terrible, something that's bad, no good. That food was awful. But the original meaning of the word was something that produced awe. Something that was awful was full of awe. We might say awe-inspiring, or in our vernacular, we might say awesome. Keep that in mind as we read the following poem. In his novel called The Monastery, published in 1820, Walter Scott had one of his characters speak a poem about the Bible. Here is the poem. Within that awful book lies the mystery of mysteries. Happiest they of human race, to whom God has granted grace, to read, to fear, to hope, to pray, to lift the latch and find the way. And better had they never been born, who read to doubt or read to scorn. The reason the world has become so immoral and so dangerous is because society has rejected God and His laws, His commands, His principles. Many people today think their ideas are better than God's ideas, and they don't want Him telling them how to live. But the record of history shows that any society benefits from following the teachings of Scripture. God's instructions were given to us for our good. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said that His people would have a positive, cleansing impact on the world. Matthew 5, verses 13 through 16, He said, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." When a civilization chooses to ignore or reject the Lord's principles, an increasingly corrupt culture results. Christians are to make a positive contribution to our society by proclaiming, honoring, and living in accordance with God's Word. But despite the corrupt condition of our world, God has never lost control. Isaiah 66, verses 1 and 2 says, "This is what the Lord says, Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house you will build for me? Where will my resting place be? Has not my hand made all these things, and so they came into being, declares the Lord?" God is still sovereign over His creation, declaring that heaven is His throne and that the earth is His footstool. Even Solomon's temple, which was constructed for God's glory, could not contain God. I didn't finish verse 2. I'll now read verse 2 in its entirety. God said, "Has not my hand made all these things, and so they came into being, declares the Lord? These are the ones I look on with favor, those who are humble and contrite in spirit, and who tremble at my word." God is not impressed by what we build and accomplish, but He looks favorably on those who have a humble and contrite spirit and who tremble at His word. Throughout history, the Lord has preserved the purity of Scriptures, and today we have a wide variety of translations available to us. But do we really tremble at God's Word? To tremble simply means that we honor, respect, and hold the Scriptures in awe, knowing that these are the very words of Almighty God. If we are humble and contrite, we'll recognize our need for His Word, and we will be willing to yield to its authority in such a way that it affects us and changes us. In the 1850s, the famous missionary Dr. David Livingstone explored much of the interior of the continent of Africa. It is said that when Livingstone started his trek across Africa with his assistants, he had 73 books in three packs, weighing 180 pounds. After the party had gone 300 miles, Livingstone felt compelled to throw away some of the books he had brought because of the burden on those carrying his baggage. As he continued on his journey, his library grew less and less until he had only one book left, and that book was his Bible. Scripture is our most precious possession, and we demonstrate how much we value and honor it every time we read it and obey it. Let's take a moment to consider the attitude of the person who trembles at God's word. The person who trembles at God's word will have a longing to hear it. When we value the scriptures, we will desire to hear truths from the Lord. A desire to hear the word will not be just a Sunday commitment. If we truly tremble at God's word, we'll be eager to read it every day, seeking the Lord's direction and guidance. The person who trembles at God's word will have a desire to believe it. Because the Lord is trustworthy and true, we can always believe what He says. By regularly reminding ourselves of the promises we've read in His Word, we are able to pray with confidence, expecting Him to hear us and to answer our requests when we ask anything according to His will. 1 John 5, verses 14 and 15 says, "This is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of Him." The person who trembles at God's word will have the intent to obey. Trembling at God's word involves more than just reading and desiring it. The Lord expects us to obey it. In the Beatitudes, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus described those who would be His followers, those who would be citizens in His kingdom in this way. He said they would hunger and thirst for righteousness. And as a result, He said they would be filled. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. When Jesus said that these people would hunger and thirst for righteousness, I don't understand Him to be saying that these people will hunger and thirst for the Bible. I don't understand that to be the same exact meaning. I believe the righteousness referred to in this passage, first of all, is referring to a right relationship with God, and secondly, a transformed life. These people want to feel right, that is, they want to feel forgiven, they want to be free from guilt, but they also want to do right. The Bible is God's plan for making man righteous. Man can learn how to enter a relationship with God and transform his life only by learning God's word. Those who hunger and thirst for a right relationship with God and those who hunger and thirst to live a righteous life will be the very ones who hunger and thirst for information about how to accomplish those things. The scriptures are our daily spiritual nourishment, and without that daily spiritual nourishment, we'll grow weak morally, spiritually, and emotionally. Proverb writer said in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 8, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity." That's verses 1 and 2. Going on down to verse 5 through 8, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones." The Lord has blessed us by leaving us His word so we can know His mind and so we can know what He expects of us. When we regularly read and obey the Lord's commands and principles, we'll be strengthened in our walk with Christ. When we humble ourselves before God's word, acknowledging that it is given to us by the living God, we'll receive the following blessings. For example, God's word leads us to salvation. Although most people come to Christ by hearing about him from another person through preaching or through teaching. The way of salvation is clearly revealed by simply reading the Bible. We must believe in Christ. We're told in John 3, verse 16, that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. John 8, verse 24, Jesus said, I told you that you would die in your sins if you do not believe that I am he. You will die in your sins. We must repent of our sins. Luke chapter 13, verses 1 through 3, Jesus, well, we're told here that there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered, Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you too will all perish. We must confess our faith in him. Romans 10 verses 9 and 10 says, If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. We must be baptized. Mark 16, verse 16 says, Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Acts 2, verse 38, on the day of Pentecost, the Apostle Peter said, Repent. When the crowd asked, What must we do? He said, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And Ananias told Saul of Tarsus in Acts chapter 22, verse 16, What are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Whether we read it ourselves or whether we are taught it by someone else, we are all saved by belief in and obedience to the Scriptures. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23, You've been born again, not by perishable seed, but by imperishable seed, through the living and enduring Word of God. The Scripture guides our steps. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. God's word also reveals when we're heading in the wrong direction. Not only does it light our feet and our path, but it warns of the consequences of continuing down the wrong path. If we read and obey the Lord's instructions, we will avoid most of the pitfalls and problems faced by those who follow their own path in life. God's word directs us to wisdom. God's word is wisdom. Psalm 119, verse 130 says, The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding or wisdom to the simple or the common person. Scripture is our greatest protection. It's like a shield before us, guarding our way and warning of danger. But if we neglect reading and obeying the word, we simply will not be able to distinguish right from wrong. The Bible lifts our burden. Psalm 119, verse 114 says, You are my refuge and my shield. I have put my hope in your word. Because the Lord is interested in every aspect of our lives, we can go to his word in our pain, our grief, our loneliness, or sickness, and receive strength and help in our time of trouble. The word of God brings joy. If we love the word, we'll find great joy and comfort in reading it. Psalm 119, verse 111 says, Your statutes are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart. As we grow and mature in Christ, when we face tough situations and discouragement in our lives, our first response will be to open the Scripture. The Scripture gives peace. Psalm 119, verse 165 says, Those who love your law have great peace, and nothing causes them to stumble. Perhaps the most desired possession in the world is peace, or that's what so many people claim, but it can only be found in the Lord, true peace. In John 14, verse 27, Jesus promised his disciples, Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. God honors and is committed to those, to blessing those who love and respect His Word. His Word, the Bible, is the most valuable possession we own, because it is God's written message to us. From Genesis to Revelation, the Bible reveals the mind and heart of God. Isaiah 40 verse 8 says that everything else will pass away, but the word of our God stands forever. The Lord is still on His throne, and He continues doing what He promised in His word. When we believe and obey His word, our lives are transformed. A friend once said to Ulysses S. Grant, President Grant, that Senator Charles Sumner did not believe in the Bible. "Of course Sumner doesn't believe in the Bible," Grant said. "He didn't write it." There are some people who would never believe in any Bible that they themselves did not write. How important is God's word to you? How do your actual practices support or contradict your perception of the word's priority in your life? The scripture is our spiritual nourishment, but sometimes we don't have much of an appetite for it because we've filled up with worldly junk food. What kinds of junk foods rob you of your appetite for God's word? What practices or habits do you need to put aside, and which ones do you need to put in place in order to acquire a taste for the truly nourishing bread of the Word? I will conclude by reading Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens God has pitched a tent for the sun. It is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heaven and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commandments of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned. In keeping them there is great reward. But who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer.